All right, welcome everybody to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. As it happens sometimes usually, we start getting into a really great discussion before we start recording the call, and we're going to switch gears and just continue to read and maybe even bring up again what it is that we've already sort of touched on. So we are at, in the Sparkle Edition, page I just lost my place. Page 179. It is, the section is called The Light of the World. So again, that's Sparkle Edition, chapter 8, page 179. For those of us who might be listening in at a later point in time, the original edition, it is page 151. Another way to find it is Chapter 8, Part 5. It's also called The Light of the World. So that's the original edition. And then the Foundation for Inner Peace edition would be page 143. It's Chapter 8, Part 4, The Gift of Freedom. We all good?
Yep.
Great. All right. The Light of the World, or The Gift of Freedom for FIP folks. If God's will for you is complete peace and joy, unless you experience only this, you must be refusing to acknowledge His will. His will does not vacillate, being changeless forever. When you are not at peace, it can only be because you do not believe you are in Him. Yet He is all in all. His peace is complete, and you must be included in it. His laws govern you because they govern everything. You cannot exempt yourself from His laws, although you can disobey them. Yet if you do, and only if you do, you will feel lonely and helpless because you are denying yourself everything. So actually, I am going to just do a quick synopsis of what we talked about before we started recording, because I feel like it's just still coming up for me. And one of the what I was sharing was that we were just talking about how things have been going, and I mentioned that I've spent a lot of this weekend prepping for a class that I'm teaching Monday night, and it has to do, it just makes me chuckle, with the DSM, which is called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. And I chuckled because, you know, here is this manual with all these mental disorders in it that seemingly only some people in the population have, and yet what the course is saying is that we're all mentally ill here because we're out of our right minds. We're in our wrong minds, and we're listening to the wrong teacher, and, you know, listening.
I can vouch for that.
Right? So here, you know, that's coming up for me again, where it says the latter part of this paragraph, you cannot exempt yourself from His laws, although you can disobey them. Yet if you do, and only if you do, you will feel lonely and helpless because you are denying yourself everything. And so that's essentially what we're doing here. We're denying ourselves everything. We're denying ourselves the whole kingdom of heaven because, you know, we've closed off our communication channels to want to try to experience this thing called a separate self, and therefore, as the Course says, we're all mentally ill. So that was just still very present for me.
I think what comes up for me right, I mean, square in the face is this wanting to control everything.
Right.
That is the biggest problem for me. I just want to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even consciously aware of it until I start feeling terrible.
Oh, right. That's a good indication how we feel. Are we at peace or are we feeling terrible? If we're feeling terrible, we're probably listening to the ego again.
This is so, I mean, he couldn't have placed this any simpler. If God's will for you is complete peace and joy, unless you experience only this, you must be refusing to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is just so simply put.
Right, it is.
And is that in all situations, Corinne? where we don't feel God's peace and joy.
Yeah, yeah, across the board. And I mean, that's summed up, I think, by the next sentence where it says, His will does not vacillate, being changeless forever. God's will for us is perfect happiness and perfect peace always, and that doesn't ever vacillate. And so if we're feeling, you know, anything but that, then, you know, we're plugged into these separate identities again, these separate bodies and personalities, and, you know, are still looking to the dream to be our salvation rather than to our truth, to what truth is. So, yep, there's no exceptions. We're it's peace and joy. Doesn't vacillate.
And what I love is nowhere in there does it say, you know, what is peace and joy for any one person. So,
right,
like, whatever
right.
that is for you is moment by moment, that's
right,
what we should
right.
be experiencing. And if we're not, then we're listening to the ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Wow. Let's take the next paragraph. I am come as a light into the world that does deny itself everything. It does this simply by dissociating itself from everything. It is therefore an illusion of isolation maintained by fear. I'm just going to read that again because I tried to turn the page and picked up two pages. It is therefore an illusion of isolation maintained by fear of the same loneliness which is its illusion. I have told you that I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That is why I am the light of the world. If I am with you in the loneliness of the world, the loneliness is gone. You cannot maintain the illusion of loneliness if you are not alone. My purpose, then, is to overcome the world. I do not attack it, but my light must dispel it because of what it is. And I'll pause there. So again, there's that idea that I love so many sentences in this paragraph, but the first one, I am come as a light into a world that does deny itself everything. So the world, that's what the world is for, is to deny ourselves heaven. It's that it's, the world is this giant distraction, this giant hologram that seems so real that it keeps our attention and our awareness away from the truth of what we are. And so because, you know, the world denies itself everything, again, that's why we're all mentally ill. And this paragraph is so comforting to me, too. I have told you that I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That is why I am the light of the world. I am with you in the loneliness of the world. The loneliness is gone. I love that. And then we have even the last sentence there, too. My purpose, then, is to overcome the world. I do not attack it, but my light must dispel it because of what it is. I also love that, too, because there's, again, I feel like, at least in my own experience, you know, in thinking about the end of the dream, or, you know, the end of the world, so to speak, you know, I would have this fear thought come in, like, oh, gosh, like, what is that going to be? And yet here it's clarifying, you know, wait a second, there's no attack whatsoever. The light must dispel it. It says somewhere in the course, you know, that the dream will merely cease to seem to be. So it's not like there's any big events or big, you know, bells and whistles when the dream is over. It's simply that it merely ceases to seem to be when we decide we don't need it anymore. I thought that was pretty comforting, too.
You know, my daughters came over for dinner tonight, and they love the Long Island Medium. I don't know if any of you have ever watched her on
TV. I haven't,
TV.
But I've seen, like, I think there's been commercials lately.
Yeah, I've heard her name before, the Long Island Medium. Yeah, yeah.
Well, after, they had it on after dinner, and I started watching it with them. And I actually went to see her in person with them because they really love her. And she really, I'd love your opinion if you ever do get to watch her. Mm-hmm. And in person, she's very consistent. I mean, I'm not really into all of that, mm-hmm. but just this idea, I am come as a light into the world that does deny itself everything. It does this simply by disassociating itself from everything. It is therefore an illusion of isolation maintained by fear. And all of these people that she encounters, that's basically what they're feeling because they've lost either their husband, their wife, their child, I don't know, mm-hmm. but they're feeling this terrible isolation and loneliness. And these spirits come through her, and mm-hmm. this is their main thing is to say, you are not alone.
Mm, wow.
I am with you every moment. It's so heartwarming.
Wow.
It is just so, and she comes up with things that people just, when I went to see her, she was talking to a very kind of rough man who, you know, she zeroed in on him because spirit was coming through her talking to him. And he had lost his father, and again, isolation, loneliness, all of this. And all of a sudden she goes, ding, ding, ding. And she said to him, what is that? Ding, ding, ding. He said he was a prize fighter. I got chills. Absolutely got chills. Because so often, this is not something that just happens once in a while with her. I mean, she just, they come through so clearly through her.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
And because there is only one thing going on, there is really only one of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I am come as a light into this world. It
yeah.
just makes sense.
And there is no death. Like that's
there is no
the core. Death. One of the core messages of the course is that death is what it. Death is the glue that holds this belief in separation together.
Together.
Death is an idea that keeps this whole world seemingly in place. And we all very much, you know, believe that, oh, you know, it's inevitable. It's part of life. You know, death just comes along with us. And you know, what the Course is saying is that, no, like, death is an illusion. There actually is no death. And we can wake up to that here. We can wake up to that. That's, you know, Jesus is asking us to wake up just like he did, not obviously through a crucifixion or anything like that, because he's very clear about that, you know, we need not crucify ourselves or go through anything, you know, like that, but we're being asked to wake up here. I love how it says in the Course, you know, rest in peace is a blessing for the living. It's not a blessing for the dead.
Yeah.
Rest can only come by waking. It's as we awaken, that's where rest comes from, because we get this, you know, sense of surety that we are wholly safe, and it has nothing to do with form or what our body's eyes see. It's a developing, you know, this knowing of that safety that goes way, way, way much deeper than, you know, the forms and how they shift and change, you know, before our body's eyes. So I very much, you know, she sounds amazing, and death is an illusion. I have no doubt that she's...
Well, I tell you, I would love your opinion. I just sat and watched about an hour and a half of her, and every message, and Corinne, you were talking about, I don't know whether I should have said that. I mean, later on, second-guessing yourself. She doesn't hesitate. She will go up to anybody, no matter where she is. These spirits are constantly coming through her.
That's so cool.
And she will not censor herself. Uh-huh. And she just lets it happen. And, I mean, she's a little kooky in her ways, you know. But getting back to this, though, every every time spirit comes through her, it is to comfort these people who feel this terrible separation loss and believe in death. And there, it's always, they want them to be, to feel peaceful, no guilt.
Wow.
You are guilty of nothing, because so many of these people are guilt-ridden. You know,
well,
if I had just gotten there sooner, I could have saved him. All the,
right,
and,
right.
And the message is always so loving. It is just quite something.
Wow. Wow.
That's always been my experience, always, you know, like, you know, working with people that I've worked with.
Yeah, because you do these intuitive readings.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's always, it always comes from a place of love, and you know, sometimes, and the more I do it, the more confident I am. You know, like, the ego will come in there and be like, should you say this sometimes? But the more I let myself be open, the easier it is to stay comfortable doing it. And I'm getting to the point now where I'm a lot bolder than I was this time a year ago. Like,
I get such a sense when you speak, Deidre. I get from the minute I first heard your voice, I get such a sense of this peace and joy that comes through you. Mm. It is, every week I'm like, oh, I hope she tunes in.
Well, that's so sweet.
It goes right
I
through
agree.
Me.
I agree. Oh, wow. You know, it's interesting, too, and I'll share this because I know Danielle wouldn't mind, but Danielle is my dear friend, and she and I co-founded MiracleShare.org together, and she's very intuitive also. And she was sharing something about a book that she's been working on writing, because she writes novels, and how it ends up that because of some life circumstances switching, she realized that everything that she was writing about in the book is actually happening right now. It's actually coming to be. And she was kind of like, oh my gosh. And I was like, well, that makes perfect sense, because the Course says that this is all done already. Like, we're mentally reviewing something that has already gone by and been done and over. You know, it was over the instant that we thought all of this up, but we're still sort of fixated on it, so it seems like it's still happening now. And so, of course, there are, you know, people, I think, who just are open to having this ability to kind of see the ego script and sort of maybe, you know, get feelings or you know, whatever it may be, visions or impressions about things that seem like they're going to happen in the future, but it's actually all been over already. But it seems still like it, you know, is a future thing to us. So it's pretty cool.
And we all have our different ways of connecting. That's what I love about it. Like, there are common threads for sure, but everyone brings their own gifts and special, not special in Course in Miracle terms. I mean, like, their own unique way of expressing spirit. So it's really beautiful in that sense. We're all one, but you can express the same truth in so many beautiful different ways, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Let's read the next paragraph. Light does not attack darkness, but it does shine it away. If my light goes with you everywhere, you shine it away with me. The light becomes ours, and you cannot abide in darkness any more than darkness can abide wherever you go. The remembrance of me is the remembrance of yourself and of him who sent me to you. You were in darkness until God's will was done completely by any part of the sonship. When this was done, it was perfectly accomplished by all. How else could it be perfectly accomplished? My mission was simply to unite the will of the Sonship with the will of the Father by being aware of the Father's will myself. This is the awareness I came to give you, and your problem in accepting it is the problem of this world. Dispelling it is salvation, and in this sense, I am the salvation of the world. So the Course talks about how Jesus was the first to do his part perfectly. He perfectly remembered truth while he was in this dream, and so doing it once, it's already been done. It's been done for all. So that is actually what comes up for me.
So when we actually, oh my God, that's really something. That makes so much sense. Because when we, like I had to be on my knees to have the opening to accept what he had already done.
Yes. That's perfect. That's perfect. It's simply an acceptance of what is already done. That's all we have to do is just accept it. We just haven't, you know, it's not like we need to learn anything really or, you know, unlearn anything necessarily. Those are certainly, you know, very valid ways of putting it. It's simply we just have to accept that this is done already. We just have to accept that we are healed. We just have to accept that we're already whole. That's perfect, Paula.
Yeah, but the way you described it was perfect because I never saw it that way before.
Yeah, that's the way the Course is describing it. So it's really helpful. Really helpful.
So it's really it's totally done. It's available to everyone when they're ready to receive it.
That's right. That is right.
But it really, and nobody can tell you that.
Right. Yes. You have to learn it.
You have to experience it.
You have to accept it for yourself.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely. Nobody can do it for us. And even when, you know, we feel like, again, I go back to, you know, an example of certain individuals in my life that, you know, I want them to accept it, damn it. Like, I want them to get it, you know, get it right, and if they could just figure it out. But no, again, it comes back to me. If I'm seeing their errors, I'm again seeing through my own ego, and it becomes my task yet again to accept it for all of us. And so, you know, and as is each of our tasks, but it always just comes back to me, to each one of us. So we can only,
absolutely.
Yeah, the first, it's that quote, the sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept atonement for himself. So that's what we all have to do. It was funny because the person that I'm thinking about who I've, you know, given examples of before on the call, I was in that frame of mind not too long ago, like pretty recently, of, you know, really wanting to push them and like, you know, come on, damn it, just try it differently. And finally this person was like, please just let me be me. And it was like such a huge moment for me to again step back and even again, if the picture is still looking painful for them, they've got to go through it themselves. They have to, you know, learn it themselves and be exactly where they're at. And it's, I'm the one who's mistaken if I think it needs to be any different.
You know, it's kind of a temperamental thing. My oldest daughter is, you know, she's on a spiritual path. I mean, her awareness has risen tremendously just from watching this Long Island medium. But yesterday we were walking, and she was talking about one of the men in her office who comes in, and she said, "My, he's so negative. He drives me crazy. And everyone, I see him coming, I don't know what to do." And I said to her, and I kind of checked in with the Holy Spirit before I said it, because I never know how they're going to react. But I said, "Gee, you know, there's this Hawaiian prayer, the Ho'oponopono." And I said, "It's just four simple phrases. I love you. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. Thank you." And I didn't know how she, but I just felt, I'm going to trust this. She was like, "That sounds like a great idea."
Aww.
That's what she said to me. I was like, "Oh, good. Yeah, give it a try." Can you? So it's very temperamental how, because honestly, with her, I really hesitate to say anything. I don't want to turn her off, and it's her business what she does. But there was just this intuitive desire to say that, and it really worked nicely.
See, what you just said there, Paula, is something that I feel really passionate about, because we all have intuitive abilities, whether we choose to be tapped into them or not. We all have them. That's the Holy Spirit. So by being, we have them. And
what is it though, Deidre? What is it exactly that it? How do you interpret that intuitive desire?
How is it like in my experience?
Yeah, in your experience.
For me, rather, like, sometimes I see images, but most of the time it's just really intense, like, feeling. I feel it. Like, I feel the emotion of the message, or the feeling behind the message, or just the overall feeling of whatever is coming through. And somehow, as I'm formulating the feeling, the words just come out of my mouth. It's more like I let spirit take over, and whatever comes out is what's supposed to come out. And sometimes there's no way for me to predict what I'm going to say, because I hand it over and I'm like, spirit, here you go. I leave you in charge of the session that I'm doing. And I have never had an experience where someone said I wasn't, you know, accurate. I can be a little bit off from time to time, but that can also depend on how I'm feeling and whether I'm allowing myself to fully connect, and how open the other person feels to receiving as well. So I don't know if that answers your question.
That totally answers my question. Thank you.
Yeah, so...
Wow.
But as you were talking, Paula, just for some reason I felt really drawn to something on my Instagram this week, and I posted it on my Facebook. And as you were talking about the Hawaiian prayer, it came up for me. And there's a yoga phrase that's often used in yoga. It's called a namaste. Has anyone heard of that before?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what it means is, my soul honors your soul. I honor the place in you where you and the entire universe resides. I honor the light, love, truth, beauty, and peace within you, because it is also within me. In sharing these things, we are united. We are the same. We are one. So that's what it means whenever anyone says that to you. And I just feel like all of these threads, all of these, you know, A Course in Miracles and all of these things happening, you know, in the universe are just so, it's all about bringing us together.
Together, yeah.
Yeah. And recognizing that one energy.
Boy, I think if you go into any situation with that intention, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard that before, but I haven't heard it in a while, and I needed to hear it again. Oh, wow. How about we read the next paragraph? The world must despise and reject me, because the world is the belief that love is impossible. Your reactions to me are the reactions of the world to God. If you will accept the fact that I am with you, you are denying the world and accepting God. My will is his, and your will to hear me is the decision to hear his voice and abide in his will. As God sent me to you, so will I send you to others. And I will go to them with you so we can teach them peace and union. That was the sentence, that last sentence that I shared before we started recording that. And the example that I gave was that I had said something a few days ago, felt very, very, you know, it felt like the right thing to say. And then today, for some reason or another, I just sort of latched onto it and started really saying, oh, I don't know if I should have said that. You know, I think that may have been a mistake and blah, 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 and, you know, going, kind of setting myself down a little path of fear. And then, of course, I just started reading this because I was just looking ahead to our reading tonight. And when I read that sentence, it just, all that fear fell away. As God sent me to you, so will I send you to others, and I will go to them with you so we can teach them peace and union. So that was just so comforting. So comforting to me. We are not alone. We need not edit ourselves if we feel, again, that movement from that deep place within to say something. We can trust it. What I also thought of in this paragraph, too, the first sentence, the world must despise and reject me because the world is the belief that love is impossible. Your reactions to me are the reactions of the world to God. It's so funny because when I first started the course, I could not even, first of all, I wasn't thrilled that Jesus had something to do with writing this book. And then I can't even tell you how many years it was before I could comfortably say the name Jesus. It would be like, I'd get like this tightness in my throat and it would like be so hard for me to say it because I was so uncomfortable with the idea, because again, there's just so much out there in terms of you know, pushing the idea of Jesus, and you know, I had some I guess distorted ideas of you know, who Jesus was and you know, his teachings. And so that reaction that I was having is an example of the reactions, as it's saying here, of the world to God. So the world, again, is here as a hiding place from God. So when we're initially opening to that idea of God, it can be quite an uncomfortable thing initially. And then I love this next sentence. If you will accept the fact that I am with you, you are denying the world and accepting God. So even, let's even say that, like, we end up putting the course down tomorrow and just forgetting about it entirely for, you know, however long it may be. We've let Jesus in. We've let the Holy Spirit in. And so the outcome is certain. We can think that we stray. We can think that we, you know, forget and get distracted, but we're on the path of healing. And because, you know, we've all agreed to want to find a better way. So we need not even be fearful that we can lose anything, any even progress that we've made. It's impossible to lose that.
That is so reassuring.
Isn't it?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm speaking, that's you know, something that I've gone through a number of times, and I feel like, at least at this moment, I feel like I've learned it just in that trust that there are no setbacks ever.
That's really, I need to hear that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, no setbacks. It's all forward moving. We're on the path home together, hand in hand.
God,
thank goodness. Mighty companions. I'm sorry. What was that?
I have a random question. I was just curious how long everybody on here has been a student or a teacher of the course.
Good question. and, you know, I always, whenever I answer this question, I always preface it with that the time really doesn't matter, because you can, I have come across many, many course students who have been doing it for 30 years and can talk it really well but don't put it into practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met people who began it a few months ago who are getting it on a level, you know, deeper than people who've been studying it for years. So,
right,
I definitely think the time doesn't matter. So I just always put that out there before I answer that question. But I actually started in 1997 and pretty much haven't put the book down.
Yeah.
Wow.
In 1987?
97.
Oh, 97.
Yes.
Yeah, I started in 1987.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, my mother passed that year, and that's when I wound up on my knees, and, you know, it really opened the door to it. I had to be really on my knees to accept it. I mean, the week before that I had this experience, I was driving past a New Age store saying, who are those freaks that believe in this crap, you know? If you had used the word Jesus to me, I was so shut down. It was just incredible. Incredible. So for me, it really was, you know, quite a wonderful, wonderful thing to encounter the Course in Miracles the way I did.
Wow.
I'll also share, too, I was just actually talked about this on an interview that I was just on a couple of days ago with a guy named Jordan Bach, and I shared the story. My mom actually, prior to 1997, she would try to talk to me about this thing called A Course in Miracles, and I would get furious. I'd angrily be like, talk to me in English like you used to. Will you knock it off with this, like, you know, miracle, shift in perception, Holy Spirit crap? Like, I don't want to hear it. And it wasn't until I was totally in a place of absolute desperation where she offered it again. And as soon as I found out that the course was about the finding and the attainment of the state of peace, I was sold.
That's amazing.
That's cool.
Anybody else want to share how long they've been studying?
I found the course in March of 2012. But when I started, and I was introduced to the course by reading Gabrielle Bernstein's book Spirit Junkie, and the book literally came into my life before I started any of my mediumship practice. I was literally at a really low point, and I remember I was in my house, I was crying my eyes out, and I was not dressed, I was in my pajamas, and I said, I need help. If there's anything out there, because at this point I was disillusioned with my beliefs about religion, and I said, if there's anything out there that can help me, please help me. I'd been suffering with anxiety and not really understanding my sensitivity to being able to pick things up, and I just all of a sudden got this feeling to go on the internet and start searching. And I don't know what I put into Google, but I landed on Gabrielle Bernstein's website.
Wow.
And I watched her video, and I was like, oh my God, this is me. And I bought her book, and the rest is...
And the book is about the Course in Miracles?
Yeah, well, it's her personal journey with the course. So, yeah.
Wow. That's really cool, DJ.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Wow. That's awesome.
Well, I was listening to a tape for about a year, and I had no idea there was a book, that there were study groups. I had no idea. I just kept listening to this tape over and over and over, and it was segments from the course, and it was set to some very beautiful, peaceful music, and the woman who, I think her name was Lee Taylor Young, she was the one who was reading the material, and honestly, and went to a yoga class, and as I was leaving that class, this was about a year later, I picked up one of the flyers from the church. I never do that. And in the back of the flyer, it was Betsy Zipkin, facilitator of A Course in Miracles. And I thought, what is this? And I called her, and she told me about the book, and boy, from there, I've been in a study group ever since.
Wow. Awesome. Can I ask you, Megan, can I put you on the spot and ask you how you found the course?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I just started. It's funny, like Deidre said, I read, at the beginning of the year, I read Marianne Williamson, A Return to Love, and I got exposed to A Course in Miracles through that. I was like, that seems kind of interesting. But I didn't feel the big call until I read Gabrielle Bernstein's May Cause Miracles. Mm-hmm. And I did that 40-day I forget how she words it, guidebook, I think. And I actually went to a lecture and I met Marianne Williamson and Gabrielle Bernstein. And the craziest thing is, I'm not sure if anyone's familiar with that book, May Cause Miracles, but she does, you know, every day she has an affirmation. And the day I met her and Marianne Williamson, it said, all encounters are holy.
Okay.
And it was too perfect.
That's awesome.
And then it was after I finished the May Cause Miracles, I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to give this a shot. And that was just in April. So I'm very, very new to this. And I just feel like tonight in particular, I'm learning like so much more than just like what we're reading specifically, just more like big picture.
Right, right.
If that makes any sense.
Absolutely, sure. Absolutely. Wow. Awesome.
So thank you guys all for your experience and your knowledge. It's helping me, you know, really reinforce what I'm reading.
Definitely.
Thank
and
you,
definitely, I would not have guessed. I would say you're definitely one of those people too who, you know, it's all about that readiness. Yeah, it has nothing to do with length of time. It's all about readiness. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's interesting because when all that happened, I had this awareness that even though in this lifetime it was my first exposure to the course, I know that it really isn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know how to put it exactly, but that's, like, it was like I came home.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, everything everybody's saying sounds familiar, even though I don't think I knew it, but it does sound familiar. Like you've named something I've like blocked, and now I remember it again.
I totally resonate with that.
Yeah, exactly. That's why this group has been so powerful for me, because it's like there's something so powerful about shared learning of the course curriculum that you can't get when you're just reading it by yourself. And so I'm so thankful for all of you.
Me too.
You too. I feel the same way.
I feel the same way also.
This is a great connection, yeah.
Group hug.
Yeah.
Virtual
yeah.
Group hug.
Very cool.
Oh, wow. Ah, I just feel filled. I feel very, very filled with gratitude. And let's see, we have a few minutes left, so let's take another paragraph. Do you not think the world needs peace as much as you do? Do you not want to give it to the world as much as you want to receive it? For unless you do, you will not receive it. If you will to have it of me, you must give it. Rehabilitation does not come from anyone else. You can have guidance from without, but you must accept it from within. The guidance must be what you want, or it will be meaningless to you. That is why rehabilitation is a collaborative venture.
Oh,
appropriate.
pretty cool. Talk about divine.
Right? That's pretty awesome. That kind of sums it up, right? Reading Goldfish is a collaborative venture. Oh, wow. I feel like our laughter just sums it up. I don't even feel like anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
I feel the same way.
And that collaboration, too, you know, I mean, we can think about it between all of us and the Holy Spirit. It's always us and Spirit. It's always, you know, that the Holy, it's our little bit of willingness. That's all it is that we need.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Next paragraph. I can tell you what to do, but this will not help you unless you collaborate by believing that I know what to do. Only then will your mind choose to follow me. Without your will, you cannot be rehabilitated. Motivation to be healed is the crucial factor in rehabilitation. Without this, you are deciding against healing, and your veto of my will for you makes healing impossible. If healing is our joint will, unless our wills are joined, you cannot be healed. This is obvious when you consider what healing is for. Healing is the way in which the separation is overcome. Separation is overcome by union. It cannot be overcome by separating. That's just awesome. Again,
it just
go on.
Describes what we're talking about
right.
here.
Perfectly.
The motivation to be healed is a critical factor. And I'm telling you, that's when I finally said, I can't go home. I just knew I didn't have the answers anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That whole idea of thinking you know.
Right, right. It's getting in our way.
Is getting in our way.
Absolutely.
Really, that just, I will step back and let him lead the way is something I have to, you know, be willing to do.
Yep, yep. It's what we're learning how to do.
Yeah.
We're learning that when we do that, that makes us happy.
Oh, my God. It makes all the difference in the world.
It does. It makes all the difference in the world. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. And it's really cool, too, just this last sentence also. I mean, again, this is just reflective of what we've been talking about, but how separation is overcome by union. It cannot be overcome by separating. So we can't, I mean, we could do a lot of this work, you know, if we were totally isolated and, you know, didn't maybe have a group, but the Course says that you find, you know, God placed the light in your brother so we couldn't lose it. And as we recognize it in our brother, we see it in ourselves. So this idea that, you know, joining together and, you know, coming into a union, all of us with our, you know, desire, our we all have that motivation to be healed, to be rehabilitated, then the outcome is just absolutely guaranteed. And we're strengthening it in one another, you know, for one another, just by the shared learning. So it's so awesome.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm so grateful. Wow.
And that's the way I started tonight, saying that I'm so grateful. So thank
yes,
you.
You did.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
You sure did, Carol.
This is great.
Oh, wow. Gosh, well, thank you, everybody, so much. It's been, as always, an awesome call. I love every one of you. Thank you all so much. And we'll pick up next week.
Have a good week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.